Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the National Art Gallery, standing in for your regular host, Amanda Colson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com or by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. And if you missed part of the show or would like to share with a friend, you can also listen to the show by going to the NAGB website at nagb.org.bs, scrolling down the Learn menu to Blank Canvas, where you can find all of our archive shows. And while you're on our page, also don't forget to check out our calendar and all of the things happening at the NAGB. Important things to note, the NAGB is closed for the rest of the week. One, for mold remediation from the 16th to the 18th. And then on Friday for Good Friday, it's the holiday. We are open again on Saturday for the Easter egg hunt. And for anybody who wants to visit the museum, we're going to be operating during our regular hours, 10 to 5. We're closed on Sunday and Monday, again, for the Easter holiday. And then we're back to the grind, regular hours and all that good stuff, come Tuesday. And speaking about the Easter egg hunt, we just had two fabulous guests with us in the studio from Popeyes, Vashti Simmons and Anne-Marie Romer from Popeyes. Popeyes has come on as a sponsor for our Easter egg hunt, which meant that we were able to get lots and lots more goodies than we have in the past. The Easter egg hunt is on Saturday from 10 to 1. We know because the NAGB is closed, those persons who want to pay for their children to come won't be able to, so we strongly recommend that you get there at 9 on Saturday to pay, because I think there's going to be a bit of a mad rush. It is going to be fabulous. Kids get craft kits. We have over 700 eggs to look for. We have prizes. There's going to be music, you know, and the list goes on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, we have lots of other great stuff happening at the NAGB, because when do we not have great stuff happening at the NAGB? I mean, seriously. So along with the Easter egg hunt, we also have our free film series on April 25th that's coming up. So that starts at 7 o'clock. And after that, on the 28th, we have our fourth Sundays as well. So that is, so on every Sunday is free to all residents. But on fourth Sundays, we make it extra special because we give free tours of the galleries to anybody who comes by on Sunday. And we are open on Sundays from 12 to 5. So please look us up. Now we're switching gears a little bit. So I have a new person in the studio with me right now, Matthew Ramming, our curatorial assistant at the NAGB.
Hello.
And thank you for being in the studio with us tonight, Matthew.
Of course,
welcome.
Of course, my pleasure.
Matthew and I went on an adventure these past 2 weeks. We went on adventure on April 2nd. We took the traveling exhibition to Grand Bahama, and it was the first time for both of us. The traveling exhibition was administered in the past by my colleague, Abby Smith, former community outreach officer at the NAGB. And this year, I took that on because Abby's no longer with us. But, you know, I had to step into some big shoes and try to take this on and administer it on Grand Bahama with just as much energy as it has been administered in the past, and Matthew helped me out with that. But you know, we learned a lot.
Most definitely,
we learned a lot. We met a lot of really fabulous people, and we implemented a lot of programming. I don't think there was ever a moment where we stopped.
Not a dull moment.
Not a dull moment. So Matthew, I guess what I really want to ask you though is, you know, being in curatorial, this is the first time you've worked this closely with education,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because even though I've never administered the program, I still was assisted in some way, even though I wasn't running it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had a pretty good idea of what I was stepping into.
Mm-hmm.
But you really came in there, like, with some information, but not really, like, with that much background knowledge. Not to the point where you kind of felt like, oh, yeah, that I knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Like, this was definitely a first time for you. So, you know, what did that mean for you in terms of your professional development as not just, I mean, a potential future curator, arts administrator, you know, all those things, like as an arts professional? What did this trip, what did this experience do for you?
Well, you know, every experience is a powerful experience when you're learning something. So I jumped at the opportunity to be a part of it because I knew that I would be able to see the work in a new way. Because when you're at the gallery, you're in a space that's comfortable. You know all the walls, you know everything. You could kind of move around in the dark and navigate, you know? So that's, it's good to move outside of your comfort zone and have to work with new challenges when it comes to hanging the work, but also to see what happens on the other side, on the education side. Mm-hmm. So working with curatorial, I get to work with the physical objects a lot, but working with education, you get to see more how people interact with the objects. You get mm-hmm. to see more how people are thinking about what we know to be our Bahamian visual history and culture. So that was also powerful to see. And especially on an island like Grand Bahama, it made the experience even more interesting, even more revelatory, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I definitely hear that. I mean, I had the opposite. I would say I had the opposite, but I was able to have an experience in a different way because I had to help you install the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
And which is not something I always get to do.
Yeah.
But just putting a quick plug in there, I'm also an artist and an art educator, so it wouldn't be the first show I'd ever hung.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
is definitely the first time I worked with someone who was trained as, who's been training with our curators, our assistant curators, and our chief curator of the gallery to be a curatorial assistant in a museum, which is very different from just hanging a show in a gallery. I mean, it's two different things.
Most definitely.
So, you know, the way you handle the work is different. The way you, even the way you think about how the work is set up in the space
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
different. It was really funny because there were moments where Matthew was holding up these like really, really heavy paintings and saying, okay, Katrina, I need you to get on the ladder and kind of lean over and grab that thing in the back there.
Yep.
It was funny. But also a really great experience too, because also thinking about how people navigate the space
mm-hmm.
and having to make having to make decisions on your own in a way you haven't had to before.
Yeah. That was beautiful too, because usually when we're at the gallery, I'm always working, as you said, under our assistant curators, Natalie and Ricardo, or with Jackson, or with Holly. So there's a huge amount of direction about where the work is going, and I'm kind of following the step-by-step format of how to move and how to place things and how to work. But working in a different space, yes, you know what's going to happen beforehand because you do your recon and you get your understanding, but things are never as you planned them.
No, not at all.
Especially when you're traveling with work, you know, work that we thought would have been able to hang can't be hung because of the physical limitations of the space, or we mismeasure a wall, so now this has to be adjusted, or you know, some reason it just can't happen the way you planned.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think on your feet, but you still have to execute that overall vision in a way that keeps the story consistent and coherent. So that was a powerful learning experience too, and I wouldn't trade that.
Yeah, no, I think, and I think for us who work on the ground in education all the time, we're used to that.
Mm.
We're used to not having as much control over our physical space,
mm-hmm.
Or I mean, we definitely don't have any control over the people we work with.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Small children,
small children, adults, all of the above. So what you do, and then another thing is that, you know, I think what you have in curatorial that we don't have necessarily is you can work within the museum and interact with a very limited group of people, you know, mostly the artists,
mm-hmm.
maybe once in a while somebody else on the outside. But in education, we have to connect
with everybody. Yeah.
With everybody.
Yeah.
With everybody. So, you know, you're connecting with educators. You're connecting with government officials sometimes, potential donors, members. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, you know, business partners. And you have to be able to switch gears quickly.
Yeah.
And I think you witnessed that a lot while you were away.
Most definitely. Yeah, yeah. Being on the family islands or the out islands, whichever term you prefer, it always requires you to be aware of what's going on, aware of who you're speaking to, you know. And you have to be hands-on, too. Because there's nothing like being in those spaces and, you know, sending emails are nice, but when you get to experience the teachers, then you get to understand who they are. You get to understand their challenges and you get to help them navigate through what they've been navigating through. You know, we met some powerful, awesome teachers on the ground, Ms. Robinson and Mrs. Says and Ben and all of those people who jumped over hurdle after hurdle after hurdle to help us get the work done, you know, and working with them and seeing how they work definitely changes how you understand artwork too. So that's an awesome thing to be experiencing and taking part in as well, because it'll change how I think about curatorial work. It'll change how I think about making my own personal artwork, because when you understand the limitations and challenges other people have, then you can understand what it takes to be more accessible, one, and then you understand how privileged you are as well in some ways. Because we Nasuvians don't understand how privileged we are to be in the same space with the National Collection sometimes. And a lot of us don't see it when we get the opportunity to see it. And that's a beautiful thing to think about, too, you know?
Yeah, and I thinking about also our reception on some of the other islands, you know, we have all of this programming that goes along with the traveling exhibition. You know, we have, for the first time, we took the teacher seminars that we normally have just here in Nassau. We took it to Grand Bahama. And this is the first time we took that as a part of the programming for the traveling exhibition. But we have workshops for high school and primary school kids. We hand out museum literature, our catalogs, to the schools so the teachers actually have access to information about Bahamian art in a way that they can't access it anywhere else. You can't find that kind of information online or in books. So we give those to the schools, to the art teachers. We had a community workshop with Sip and Paint.
We'll talk about that
a bit more later. We had a curator's talk as well. One of our assistant curators, who's also one of the co-curator of the exhibition that's in Grand Bahama right now that we took over there, Trans and Migration of Identity, Richardo Barrett, he came over and spoke about the exhibition, you know, the thought process behind it, what went into it, but also what it means to be a curator at a museum, and not just any museum, at a small museum in the Bahamas,
right?
Because that has its own unique features. And, you know, it was really funny. We were there for almost 2 weeks, and I feel like by the end, everybody in Grand Bahama knew what we were doing. Everybody in Grand Bahama knew why we were there, what we were doing, and the support was incredible.
It was incredible.
And I think and what it comes down to is that for those people who don't have that kind of access, you're talking about privilege, right? Who don't have that access to those programs on a regular basis, when it does come their way and they see people bringing something good to their communities, they really work hard to support it. And that was, it was validating. It means that we're doing something right.
Most definitely.
But also, on this trip, we realized that we can find ways to do even more. In a smart way, not by overextending ourselves, of course. But yeah, it was pretty amazing, I have to say. And I, like you said, I was blown away by those educators and all the hard work they were doing. So we're going to take a break before we move into our last segment. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about what we did while we were in Grand Bahama, the mural program, the Sip and Paint especially. that was interesting and a lot of fun. And also, you know, kind of like impressions of Grand Bahama, you know, the things that we experienced while we were there. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.